to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix, the show that delivers what you need, from comics to music to all things independent, the heart of the industry. Catch the Craze, baby.
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Who's the craziest?
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Who's the craziest?
Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix. I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I'll be your host today, flying this ship solo again, because the team, they're flaking. They should be here. They should be in the studio with the bull, with, you know, Sam the Crazy Man Vera. But unfortunately, schedules have made it a lot more difficult for the team to get together more often. And that's because we're working on so many different things. And I'll just elaborate on that. You know, George Medina, who's normally my co-host, he's coloring for There's Nailing in My Toilet, which is a project that we're on an accelerated pace to get the trade ready for the national. But as each day progresses, it seems like we might not hit that mark. Because the company that we were going to use, which was Dreamweaver Press, they've closed up shop temporarily. And they were the only company that we were able to meet our needs to get the books to us within the 2 weeks' time, because we are running to the wire. So because of that, we don't know if we're going to have it ready for the national. The fourth book will be ready for the national, so we'll probably have them as the four single issues. You know, issue 3 is complete, and right now I'm in the middle of issue 4 of There's Nailing in My Toilet, and so most likely we'll have the 4 issues at the national. I don't think we're going to have the trade paperback, so I'll let you know as days progress, because we got a lot of things going on besides that. I mean, we have, it's Halloween, we're helping, we're going to be representing and showing up at the Psychosis Indie Party, the Halloween party at the Twins Pub, and it's October 28th, and it's advertised on Catch the Craze, and it's also advertised on theartistguild.com or artistguild.com, and it's for the new anthology Psychosis. There's a lot of great creators on that project Psychosis, and it's available in select stores, and so it's going to be it's like a release party debut, so we're going to be there. Catch the Craze is going to be there. I personally won't be there because I will be in Dallas, Texas, helping out the Arthritis Foundation. I'll be at the Children's Hospital, entertaining the kids that are suffering with arthritis. I will be dressed up as Hellboy. I was going to be, one of the big blue monster from Monsters, Inc., but I was like, hey, it's Dallas weather. I don't know if I want to be caught up in that, so I will be Hellboy. I have an authentic Hellboy costume and the whole bit, so... And I'll be spending some time at the hospital with the kids there. And also, we'll be at a charity fundraiser to raise money for the Arthritis Foundation to support the research for kids with arthritis. And, I guess we figure arthritis to be something that comes with age. There's no age limit. I mean, it starts at birth, and these kids are suffering with that. So, I'm there to support that. So I'll be out there while the team will be at the Psychosis party filming for Catch the Craze. And when I get back, I'll edit it and I'll post it on CatchTheCraze.com. And, we have some new members on our forum. And thank you for, joining the forum and, for starting discussions and engaging me. And we have just Digital Sword is one of the newest members. And... I guess he heard my statement about forum members that join but don't say much, don't say anything, damn it. So, he thrown out some ideas. Digital Sword has asked that I try to get a specific individual on the show, and I'm working on that. And also asked a question about printing on demand for the business of comic books, which I will be talking about in another episode of the business of comic books, and you know what are the pros and cons about the PODs. And so thank you, Digital Sword. We appreciate all your comments. You know, a lot of the forum members I see at conventions, and they'll email me directly, you know, and ask me questions, or they'll see me, you know, at the conventions or at a comic book store and, you know, ask me a question or something. But, ask them on the forums. You know, I'm always looking. I'm on the forum every day looking at, see what people are saying or, you know, any updates. And, you know, that's what it's there for. You know, talk back to the people that were on the show, to the guests that were on the show. I'm sure they'll want to answer your questions, you know. I know Digital Sword has mentioned something about Mark Maz, episode 30, on the show. And so I forwarded that to Mark. I said, yo, Mark, you need to join the forum and respond to that, you know, because there are people who are appreciating what they hear. So thank you, Digital Sword. And, up later on the show, I just ran away. Later on the show, we have Rob Williams of Dark Horse. He's working on, he's a writer on Star Wars Rebellion. And so I'll be interviewing him on this show, and it's a really good show. And we've been working on getting him on the show since, I guess, June, you know, back and forth because of, you know, scheduling, conflicts and stuff like that. And it was, you know, convention season, so it's really hard, you know, for us to secure. Because, you know, what we do is we send a letter calendar to all potential guests, and they select a date that works best for them. And then we book them. But then sometimes, you know, last minute changes, you can't, or unforeseeable things. So then we have to reschedule. But then sometimes it conflicts with us because we have a lot of things on our plate. So with that said, back to what's going on. You know, we have a colorist from the Ukraine. He's working on Forbidden, recoloring the whole entire thing. So we're going to have the Forbidden trade paper back for the San Diego Comic-Con next year. And also the Cosmic Wars trade paperback for the San Diego Comic-Con. So that's what we're working on that end. Plus preparing for the National, because we have a podcast at the National. And we'll possibly be doing the podcast with some other podcasters like Comic News Insider and Comic Geek Speak. More details as the days progress. In the event that some of the guys decide, other podcasters decide last minute that they don't want to be down, we're still going ahead with it full force, and we'll announce what the theme will be behind the podcast. So look forward to that. It's going to be pretty good. So if you're going to be in New York for the Big Apple National, come down and support the podcast show and, you know, get your voice heard, you know, and on the show, because I'm sure by that time we'll be up to episode 50. Anyways, but, you know, it's going to be our first live broadcast. You know, we'll upload it each night at the end of each convention. And it's an opportunity for us to, hear from the fans or the listener base. So, you know what's funny? I just realized I have so many email accounts. And I was consolidating or whatever, going through my emails and deleting unwanted spam and whatever. So I realized I had so many guest inquiries that I never followed up on. I found about a dozen emails from different creators in the industry wanting to be on Cast of Craze. And I never really responded to them. I didn't realize it because I get so much spam and it's hard, you know, so you try to speed read through it. So guys, I got your emails. I will be sending you a response this week. And we'd love to have you all on the show. You know who you are. You're probably saying, those jerks, they never even call me back. What's up with that? But we will. And I just did my taxes. I know I procrastinated. My wife says I'm the biggest procrastinator. I just filed my taxes. I have to have it done by midnight. I filed an extension a couple of times. But midnight's the deadline. So my accountant's in Texas. And she's handling everything. I had to forward her all my, you know what it is? All my Crazy Comics expenses, all the Cast of Craze expenses. I had to itemize everything, you know, put it on in a spreadsheet, you know, everything from conventions, you know, to hotels, airlines, you know, material, supplies, equipment, all that stuff has to be itemized. On top of that, I'm also a homeowner, and I had to itemize the construction material that we did, and because my father and I, I guess, did the entire lower level of the house. And we finished the whole thing. It was just a concrete slab, and we did the sheetrock and the lumber and all that other stuff. So you have to itemize all that stuff. You have to take your receipts, and you have to put them all into a spreadsheet, an Excel file. So I finally got that done, and I zapped it away to my accountant. So I don't know. You know, past few years, I haven't received a dime. So maybe this year, because I'm a new homeowner and all this other stuff, maybe I might get something back. Hopefully. But with that said, you know, we got a lot of things going on with Catch the Craze. We just launched our store at Cafe Press. It's cafepress.com/crazycomics. And a lot of things coming into that store. You know, we have our duty stamps, you know, from Disney and then my toilet. We have everything from mouse pads to T-shirts and, you know, children's clothing and the whole bit and calendars and posters. So if you're a fan of Disney and then my toilet, stop by our store. We're also going to have Catch the Craze logo merchandise and Crazy Comics logo merchandise. And but right now we have duty wear. So, you know, get down with duty wear. It's pretty cool. So, once again, it's cafepress.com/crazycomics. And if you have a MySpace, visit us at myspace.com/catchthecraze. And remember, Catch the Craze is with a D-A, not a T-H-E. So, you know, join us on MySpace, you know. Tell us what you think there. So with that said, you know, 2 weeks you got the, is it 2 weeks? Yeah. 2 weeks you have, the Psychosis Indie Party, and, in November we got the National. So without further ado, I won't bore you. We will be coming up after this commercial break with Rob Williams, and I am Santa Crazy Man Rare, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Alright, Halloween is just around the corner and the Comic Book Artist Guild has something in store for you. Saturday, October 28th from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Twins Club. The Twins Club, the Halloween indie party for the debut release of Psychosis, a horror anthology by Guild Works Productions. Be there or be square and come with your best costume. Mwah!
There's an alien in my toilet.
Oh, hey, nah, I'm just doing a little comic book shopping.
Interesting choice.
Nah, this is for my son. I'm trying to get him to read more in this independent comic book company called Crazy Comics.
Crazy Comics? Yeah, I've heard of them. They have titles like Cosmic Wars and Rush 5377.
Yeah, and a title called Forbidden, but that's for me. Anyway, the great thing about this company is that they make a conscious effort to promote reading for kids. Yet their stories are so smart and funny that even an adult can enjoy them.
I know what you mean.
Just look at the back of this book. A glossary of terms and cool questions about the solar system.
I'm sold. There's an alien in my toilet. Hey, get over here. You just hit the last one.
Sorry, but don't worry. You can go online at crazycomics.com. They have an eBay store. You can buy all types of cool stuff from comics to T-shirts. See you later and catch the craze.
Hi there. I'm Duty from Uranus. If you haven't heard already, I am the star of There's an Alien in My Toilet, a fun adventure series by Crazy Comics. So stop by dutiesworld.com for all of your duty adventures. And remember, it's all about duty. That's the craze.
All right, we're back with Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix. I am Santa Crazy Man Vera, and we have a special guest on the show today. His name is Rob Williams. He's a writer, and he's started off in the business known for a well-known series called Class War. He's currently working on Star Wars Rebellion. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. So let's take a trip back in time. Let's go back to your childhood. Where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in South Wales.
South Wales?
In the United Kingdom. Grew up in a place called Aranda. And over the last 10 years, I've been living in Bristol, well, just outside Bristol, actually, again in the UK. So yeah, I'm pretty far away from you guys. Anyway, where are you at the moment?
I'm in New Jersey.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Just a short hop across the pond.
There you go. A quick train ride. Tell us about your experience, your childhood, the upbringing in your country, and what it was like growing up.
I don't know. So anyway, I mean, I grew up in kind of a small town. The Rhondda is a pretty, it was a big sort of industrial, big history with coal mining.
Right.
And when that industry all kind of got shut down in the 80s, it's it turned into, it was a rough time really, which I guess was when I was growing up there. So it's a kind of fiercely working class place, and you know, it's a bit of a rough old town. It can be a rough old town. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, I had a really good childhood, and I really enjoyed it, and good parents, good friends, and you know, and everything. But yeah, it's not. I don't know. It's just like any small town mentality, I guess. You know, I mean, exactly the same with you guys in the States or wherever. You know, it's it can be pretty insular. You know, where I live now, and you know, it's I don't know. It's got wider horizons. Let's put it that way.
Right. So now, were you always writing as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I always into writing in school and whatever, and always interested. I always wanted to be a journalist, which I guess which I am, partly a magazine journalist as well as the comics. And so yeah, I mean, you know, writing's just about the only thing I've ever been halfway decent at. So yeah, it was always pretty obvious that's what I wanted to do, something like that. I'm no good in my hands. It's got to be the words, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Right. So now, what was your first, your first project, your first time you tackled something as a child, writing, and I guess, what was it that made you realize, hey, this is what I would like to do in life?
I don't know if it's one kind of example. I mean, I have a real early memories of reading comics, right. And I'm not entirely sure how exactly that was. I think it was just probably just the fact my parents would bring them home for me, you know, and it was, I mean, that kind of, you know, I was just always, I remember an old, I think it must be a JLA Adam Strange comic, you know, many, many years ago, and I have a kind of strong memory of that, and the British, a lot of the war comics, you know, commando books and things like that, and these kind of things, you know, you just end up writing these kind of stories in school, and but funnily enough, I mean, going forward many years, it never really occurred to me that I could write comics until I was probably in my 20s. You know, I just enjoyed writing and prose and very bad poetry in teenage years. Everyone writes very bad poetry in teenage years.
Were there any other writers in your family?
No. I'm a single child. My dad's a truck driver. My mum just you know, helped raise the family.
Right.
So no, I'm a bit of an aberration in that regard, and you know, my dad's only read about two books in his entire life. But, but you know, from as early as I can remember, you know, I was always into reading, always into words, and you know, who knows where it comes from. Right. I mean, I'm adopted, so maybe you know, the whole kind of nature nurture thing.
Right.
Who knows? But you know, my parents always encouraged me. You know, very, very encouraging, and I always, you know, put lots of books in front of me and whatever. But there was always, you know, there's something. You know, there was always something a wee bit different. Like I say, you know what I mean, in certain ways. So yeah, that's something that's fairly interesting to me.
Right. Now, were there any influences in your area, or anything that sparked, pushed that creativity in you?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I guess good teachers do it. You know, wherever you are, good teachers put, you know, see your talent in you and push you and encourage you. And I can certainly remember, like everyone else can probably, you know, I can remember a lot of bad teachers, and I can remember a few very good ones as well. Not really. It was just a general kind of, that was always it, and sort of films and. You know, very into movies and Star Wars. When I was very, you know, about 7 years old, something like that, I remember seeing Star Wars, just absolutely blew me away.
Right,
which it did for so many people, I know. But I mean, that's one of my strongest childhood memories. Is first time my dad took me to see Star Wars, and that just ruined everything for about the next like 10 years. I think I was, you know, right up until about, you know, Return of the Jedi and a bit beyond. I was just, I kind of lived and breathed it. I was your typical Star Wars geek, I'm afraid. So it's pretty cool that I've ended up writing for the Star Wars comics all these years later, which is something I never would have dreamt of at the time. You know, you're just playing around with Star Wars figures and making up your own stories and whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of funny how things turn out in that regard.
Exactly. Now, did you go off to college?
Yes. Yeah, I went to college. I did a humanities degree, 3 years. And I specialised in creative writing. I got to say, I don't think I learned a great deal. I had a good time in college. I think that's. I don't think I necessarily went to the best college. I don't think I necessarily knuckled down as perhaps I should. But I had a good time and I met a lot of very cool people and got a bit involved in student theatre and wrote a play and so in that regard, yeah, it was great and it was very creative. But academically, it wasn't the best. No. I wasn't Oxford or Cambridge, I'm afraid. You know.
So now, what was your first, I guess, journalistic or writing assignment? Your first paying job?
That's a very good question. I'm not entirely sure I can remember the answer. After I left college, I did a 1-year MA master's degree. In journalism, which was really intensive and was about 10 hours a day, which is a big shock because my degree course was I was doing like eight hours of lectures a week in my final year, and suddenly I kind of went over to this very intensive course, and that was very hard, very hard work. And I got out of there, and I was out of work for a good deal for a good period after that, and applying for jobs, and not really having much joy, and. I took some weird jobs just on medical journals and things like that,
right.
Which was mainly sub-editing, would just for the money. I worked for very, very glamorous magazines, like the British Journal of Optometry, which is just possibly the most boring magazine you can ever hope to imagine. And I did a few things like that, and just like anyone else, really, just trying to take jobs here and there. Where did I first get? I have no idea when my first published written work was, which is really probably quite sad. I really should have clippings or something that I'm immensely proud of, and I just remember taking these jobs just for the money, really. But that's okay. That's how you learn, isn't it?
Right.
So, I can't help you on that one, mate. Sorry.
That's all right. I'm glad I stumped you. So now, let's move on forward. How did you? What was your when did you realize that you wanted to write for comic books?
It's quite late. I mean, I ended up, I fell into working, directing videos, directing corporate videos. Completely by chance. It wasn't my intention. And writing scripts for them. And basically, even though, again, the subject matter could be very dry and very boring. I mean, I got to do some cool things and got to make videos in places like Dubai and Hong Kong. But the subject matter was usually very, really quite dull, and I ended up making videos about things like sewage treatment plants. I mean, it was just bad. Basically, what I was learning I kind of realized I was writing scripts and telling a story through visual means.
Right.
And I've always been a comic fan, and I kind of put two and two together and just sort of thought, well, hang on, And I've always been good at dialogue. I'd written a stage play and been told by quite a few people, the BBC were interested in a play I wrote at one point. People would tell me that I was good at dialogue. And it was just really putting the two and two together, and I kind of thought, well, hang on, I've always loved comics. Why don't I actually give it a go? But at that point, I didn't really have much of a clue at all how to go about it, right. Or, how to get published or... I think I was probably 24, 25, something like that.
Right.
Before the penny even dropped. I mean, it wasn't a case of me being sort of all the way through my life thinking, I'm going to write comics.
Right.
It was just the fact that I've always been a comic reader and loved them. And then eventually thought, well, maybe I can make some money out of it.
Right.
Not really. It was a bit of a slow process.
Right. And so now, did you ever go to a comic book convention?
Yeah, I did. I mean, but what happened was I decided to give it a go, and I wrote the first script for Class War, issue one. Really, it's a case of, well, I'll see how I handle the form and see how I get on. So I hadn't been to a comic convention prior to that, and I turned up in Bristol, where I live. Funny enough, they have the major UK comic convention every year is in Bristol.
Right.
So I just went down one year. basically with a script for class tour with the intention of showing it to people and seeing what they thought. And I was lucky because Comex, the company who eventually published Class Tour at the time, were new and very enthusiastic and were basically saying, look, we're open to we'll read scripts, which, you know, hardly anyone will do. You know, you have to pitch, as you know, I'm sure, you have to pitch, and then if they like the pitch, then you move on, and then maybe they'll read a script.
Right.
But these guys at the time said, no, we'll read this. So I just went up to the desk and dumped the script for Class War 1 on the, you know, in front of them and said, look, I've read, you know, what, tell me what you think. And a lot of other people were doing the same. And then I didn't hear anything. And then several months later, it was probably about some like 5-6 months later, I had a phone call out of the blue. And they'd finally worked their way through their slush pile, which must have been just massive. And they'd read it and just went, look, we really like this and we'd like to publish it. So I was lucky at the time that Comex, you know, were basically a new company starting and willing to take a chance on new talent, basically, because it's, you know, it's very, very difficult to get an into the industry. You know, if you haven't had anything else published, no one's going to give you a chance, really. So I was lucky in that regard.
Right. Now, what was that experience like to actually have your first project printed, and what was the reception for it like?
It was great. I mean, the Class Tour was just, I mean, we had some trials and errors down the road, but for the most part, it was fantastic. I mean, I was hoping to get, you know, some kind of amateur artist to, you know, to maybe draw Class Tour, maybe think about self-publishing it. And suddenly they put teed me up with Trev Hairsine. And Trev's just, like, is an unbelievable artist. And he's since gone on, you know, become one of my best friends as well. So that was just a very positive experience all around.
Right, nice.
And for my money, you know, I mean, other people might disagree, but I still think it's the best work Trev's ever done. Issue one and two of Class Tour, he just did unbelievable work on for me. And Comex were very enthusiastic, and it was a real feeling of excitement at the time. It was like, wow, you know, this is somewhere new that I'm going here, you know, and a lot of people were very, very complimentary about Class Tour. I think we had about 99% really fantastic reviews. Opened a lot of doors for me, and still does to this day. You know, I've just recently done a job for Marvel, and that's basically off the back of the fact they like Class Tour, even though Class Tour was about 5 years ago. The only trouble we had with Class Tour was Trev got poached by Marvel on issue 3.
Right.
So we had big delays between the first 3 issues and then issues 4, 5, and 6, and yeah, so that was a bit of a pain, and it did get delayed. I mean, it lost a bit of momentum. So, and I you know, it was always meant to be a 12 issue story, and I only got a chance to ever tell, you know, to write 6 of the issues because Comex basically stopped publishing comics after a while. So, but on the whole, just a very, very positive experience for me, really, and something that, you know, I still look back quite fondly on.
Wow, nice. So then, what was the trickle effect from that point on? Did it open doors for a lot more projects?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I've done a lot of work the last few years for 2000 AD in the UK. And 2000 AD, I pitched about one or two things to 2000 AD, but basically they turned them down. And then Class Tour came out, and Andy Diggle was the editor of 2000 AD at the time. And a few comic people went out for a drink in London one night and talking to Diggle, and Diggle said he'd read Class Tour and really liked it, and basically said, look, you should be writing for 2000 AD. So that opened the door there, and like I say, I've since become, pretty much a regular with 2000 AD for probably about 4 years now. It opened the door for me at Dark Horse. I sent an issue of Class Tour to Jeremy Barlow, the editor there, and he really liked it, and he offered me work as a result. And again, like I said, I've just done this issue of Wolverine for Marvel, and with Axel Alonso, and Axel's, you know, always, you know, I think Axel obviously liked Class Tour because he's given me work off the back of it. So in a weird kind of way, Class Tour has really been a, you know, very good calling card for me, really, even though, ironically, it probably didn't sell that much in the great scheme of things, but people liked it, so, you know, that was cool.
Now, how did
let's get into where the whole Dark Horse.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with them?
Well, yeah, like I say, it's a friend had done some work for Dark Horse, suggested I get in touch with Jeremy Barlow, and I sent Jeremy Classwell, and Jeremy dug it, and he basically asked me if I wanted to pitch for a Star Wars tale, an eight page job, and which I did, and he put Carrie Nord drawing it. And it was a little eight pager called Ghosts of Hoth, with a Chewbacca story, and I think I got it because no one pitches Chewbacca stories because, you know, Chewbacca's fairly limited. He's just going to wander around and go rawr every now and again, you know.
Right.
But basically, I did this. I wrote this little eight pager, which I still think is a really nice little story. And Carrie Nord just did a beautiful job on the art. And I think, you know, Dark Horse were happy with it. They asked me to do, I think, another Star Wars tale, a short one. And then when they revamped Star Wars Tales and really wanted to make it a mini-series, you know, a 22-page, four-issue mini-series within the pages of Star Wars Tales, Jeremy asked me if I'd like to do that. And it's really gone on from there and led on to Rebellion. So, I mean, it's just been a really good relationship with Jeremy Barlow, who's, you know, just been a cracking editor to work for, and I've always been very supportive of my work, really. So it's just gone on from there, really.
Right. Now, how difficult is it to write for a series that has such a universal cult following, and it's like so embraced by the fans and the public? How challenging and difficult is it to write it? Are you giving a plot and say, here, this is what I want you to write for, or are you challenged to come up with ideas of your own? How does that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're challenged to come up with ideas of your own. I mean, you have to pitch, and you pitch to, you know, to Dark Horse first of all, and if Dark Horse like it, then it goes off to Lucasfilm,
yeah.
And Lucasfilm have to okay everything. So you've got to get past two layers. But I mean, it's been pretty good in that regard. Lucasfilm really haven't stuck their oar in too much, you know. I mean, there's been a few things here and there. So it's good in that regard. I mean, I don't know. I know what you're saying. It's kind of tough because I'm a fan of Star Wars, you know. And so in that regard, I guess I like to think I pretty much, you know, I know. I get a feel for the sense of a universe that you know you're playing around in, and you're not going to suggest something that pushes the boundaries too far. You're not going to come up with, you know, you can't really do, you know, bloody gory Star Wars, or you can, you know, I mean, basically it's got to be high adventure in outer space, you know, a space opera, and you're aware of that. I mean, I like to think we push the boundaries a little bit because you're always going to bring your own storytelling sensibility to it. So maybe we're a little more, Brandon Bedeau and myself, sometimes we're coming at it from a little bit more of an adult perspective. But you've just got to keep it within Star Wars boundaries. And, you know, these are the toys you're given to play with. It's pointless trying to do something else with it. So, but that's something to be enjoyed. And like I say, if I was coming into this from a hacky point of view, and I wasn't a fan of Star Wars, and I was just taking the money, it'd be different. But, okay. You know, I still absolutely love the original three films. So it's just fun, you know. It's fun to play around with those characters.
Right. Now, have you received any, fan feedback based on the stories you've written?
Yeah, I mean, well, message boards. Message boards are like the bind of our time, aren't they? You know, you get a lot of good comments, a lot of bad comments. And sometimes I think, you know, you shouldn't read them, because I think it's a little bit counterproductive, because it can ruin your day.
Yeah.
You come on in a good mood, and you kind of go, you get some guy just, you know, just ripping you. You know, you spent months working hard on something, and when you get one guy flippantly, you know, going, "Ah, it sucks," and you're like, "Oh, cheers, man, thanks." But then, you know, you read them because, you know, you want to know what people think. I mean, I always, you know, use the analogy, but it's tough. You know, I've got a couple of comic artists and writers friends who just go, "No, you can't read message boards, you know, they'll ruin you, you know." But I think, you know, if you got told that there's people in the next room talking about you, you're gonna put your ear to the wall, and you're gonna know what they're saying, you know?
Right.
So it's good and bad, and you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, basically. If you're willing to go on there and read those comments, then you got to expect to be pleased with some and furiously angry with others, basically. But you know, I occasionally make the mistake of going on and answering criticisms, and you just shouldn't do that. It's pointless.
Right, right.
It's just a bad move.
Right. So I mean, you went on from Star Wars Tales, and better look at your resume. Here,
yep.
You've done so much work, and now you're currently working on Rebellion.
Yep. I finished the first arc. I mean, the first five issues of Rebellion was written a while back now. I'm currently writing the second arc of Rebellion, another five issue arc. So it's been nice to kind of have a bit of a longer run, really. The Star Wars Tales were short stories, and you know, a five issue arc gives you just so much more room to, you can plant seeds basically for things that are going to pop up later in the series, and it's been nice, it's been enjoyable.
Now, which do you prefer, writing for your own pleasure as far as writing your own stories, or writing on a project that's already known?
I don't really mind as long as I'm really into it, and you know, and. I'm sure everyone has the same. You have some stories you work on, but for whatever reason, you're more involved with than others. And when you do, and you're fully involved with it, I mean, that's just fantastic. And that's regardless of if it's creator-owned or if it's work for hire, you know. And some of the characters in the Star Wars books in Rebellion or whatever, you know, like Janik Sunba, the main character in Rebellion, you know, just I completely got involved with that character, and the fact that he was a Star Wars character, and the fact that he'd been invented by someone else really didn't matter to me, because I just connected with him, and he was fun to write. And there's a character I write for 2000 AD called Amy Nixon, who's completely screwed up, and she's an undercover cop, an undercover judge in Mega City 1. And again, sometimes totally feel I know where she's coming from, and I know it's a writer's cliche where sometimes you go, well, the character's just writing themselves, and sometimes that just happens, and that's just fantastic. So it depends, really, you know. And then other times with other stories you just struggle, and whether it's creator-owned or whether it's work for hire, it doesn't really matter. But it'd be great if it was just absolutely easy all the time, but just writing's just hard. It's hard work.
Right. So, where do you pull your energy from? Where do you get your source from?
I have no idea. It's probably a mix of influences, which you have to try and keep control of, because you know, otherwise you're going to end up inadvertently plagiarizing other people's work. But you know, I mean, there's things, you know, the things I love. I mean, I get inspired by. I love like shows like The Wire and Deadwood. You know, HBO shows.
Yes, The Wire is the best.
The Wire is just the best show on TV.
Yes, it is.
And I get inspired by things like that, and I come away just kind of. I was watching last night, you know, the latest episode 3 of a new series of The Wire, and it ended, and I just kind of went, that was just amazing, and I love that kind of feeling, but it's also daunting as well, because you kind of go, I could live to be 100, I'm not going to be able to write as good as that. So, you know, I also get inspired by bad writing, you know. I watch things, like in the UK, we've got a soap opera called EastEnders, which is on 4 times a week, and it's just shocking, and I sit there going, I can write better than these bastards. I think I get inspired by those, by things like that, and then it's trying to pull, you know, your own experiences and your old worldview and kind of into that, and try and express yourself, you know, I guess artistically, at the risk of sounding pompous, I have no idea. And again, like you say, some weeks you're there, you sat there in front of a typewriter and you go, and it's flowing, and you're there going, I'm a really good writer. And then other weeks, you just struggle and you're banging your head against the wall and you just don't seem to have anything whatsoever. And it doesn't seem to be any kind of rhyme or reason to why that is. Sometimes you've got more creative energy than others.
Right, right. So now, my question is, what's in store for you going down the road? Do you have any plans to release any future creator-owned projects?
Well, I mean, at the moment, I've got the next thing that comes out for me is Wolverine 49.
Nice.
In December, which is the Christmas issue, the double-sized Christmas issue. So, I'm really pleased with that, and I've put a lot of hard work into that, and I think I think it's a really good story, a really strong story, and I hope that more work, comes out of that with Marvel. I'd like to do a lot more work for Marvel, and they're interested in more stuff from me, but hopefully we can get something worked out. And then, at the moment, I'm writing the next five issues of Rebellion, Star Wars Rebellion. And I'm only on issue one at the moment. So there's a long way to go with that. Got a couple of projects for 2000 AD. I'm writing a second series of a strip called The Ten Seconders, which I created. I split my time. I'm a journalist as well. I still am a journalist, and for about 6 months of a year, I probably work on journalism, and about 6 months of a year, I work on the comics. So sometimes I kind of think, it'd be nice to kind of completely commit myself to the comics, because I have periods where I can't do any comic work because I'm too busy with my journalism work. But in other times, I think the balance, keeps me relatively sane, I'm not entirely sure. But, the life of being home alone all the time, you and the typewriter, I think. you can create some good work that way, but you can certainly lose your social skills as well.
Right, right. Now, do you tour? Do you go on convention tours?
Where I can, we only get a couple in the UK. I try to make those, and I came out to San Diego 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. So I did Comic Con for about 3 days, and I'm very much hoping the plan is to make the New York Con in February.
Outstanding.
It is February, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
End of February. I'm fingers crossed. I'm going to be able to afford to do that because it's expensive for me to
make
it to the States. But I'd love to make Comic Con every year, or whatever. But it's just West Coast is a pricey flight.
Yeah.
But East Coast is in February is a little bit more affordable, so hopefully I'll be there and hopefully I'll see you there.
Outstanding. Yeah, we'll be looking for it. And now, I guess my question, if there was an aspiring writer out there seeking advice, what would you tell them?
I think first and foremost, you need to learn your craft, which is very tough to do without learning as you go, but I think it's hugely important to know narrative structure, and a lot of people, and I was one of these people, went into writing and just thought, I'll sit down and I'll make it up as I go along, and I just don't think you can do that. I think you look at these, the best writing, it all has a narrative spine. And you've got to learn, like anything else, you're not going to go out on stage. If you're a guitar player, you're not going to go out on stage and play a gig if you don't know how to play the guitar properly.
Right.
And I think, a lot of writers start out and they're just basically floundering around. And they've got natural talent, don't get me wrong, but you need to learn your craft, just like in any other walk of life, really. And I'd really advise people to read books like Robert McKee's Story, things which will teach you, the nuts and bolts of how to write a good story, whatever form it is. And I think if you've got that, you're well prepared then. And you can craft your talent and imagination around that. But I think that's a very important thing to learn. And it's something that I only learned a few years into the job, and I really wish I'd learned earlier. I think it would have helped me an awful lot. So, yeah, I'd basically advise any aspiring writers to go out and read Robert McKee's Story.
Right.
Get it on Amazon. It's really, really worthwhile.
That's it. Now, do you have a website of your own?
Do I have a what, sorry?
Yes. A website?
A website. No, I don't. No, I should.
I was struggling to find information. I was like, where's his website? Don't you have a website?
No, I don't. I've never got around to it. And I've been thinking the last few weeks, I think I really should put something up there, even if it's only... I've got an idea to put a website up there with a webcam where you can just watch me struggle in front of a computer. And I'm thinking of calling the website watchrobweep.com. Basically, at any point, you can see me go off, make coffee, come back, bash my head against the table, and all these fun things, But I might do that, but I might not. But yeah, at the moment I don't have one. Mm-hmm. A friend's been telling me I should need to set up a MySpace page, so maybe have a look at on MySpace for me in a couple of weeks or something.
Yes, MySpace is extremely, user-friendly, functional, and it suits its purpose.
It needs to be idiot-proof. I'm not good with setting up websites and things like that. That's not my natural talent, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's simple, it's easy, it's free.
Yep, that'll do. Free is good, yeah.
There you go. So do you have any final last statements?
Not really. I just hope I haven't come across too badly, and I hope people go and check out the comics and look out for Rebellion issue 5 has been delayed, but it's coming out at the end of November, and I think it's a really strong issue, and I just hope people check it out and take a look out for the Wolverine issue in December as well, and hopefully that'll. People will like that as well. That'd be cool.
Definitely. I mean, I do have the Rebellion copies, and I will check out the Wolverine issue, and we'll follow up, and hopefully we'll meet in February.
Yeah. Hope to see you in February. If I'm there, if I have a look around the Dark Horse booth or something like that, and if they have one there, and it'll be nice to meet up. Anyway, say hello.
You got it. Thanks, Rob Williams, for being on Cast the Crazy Podcast Audio Mix, and much continued success to you and yours.
All right, thanks a lot, mate, and cheers for talking to me.
You got it.
All right, cheers.
Hi there, I'm Duty from Uranus, and now you can get your hands on all of my Duty merchandise, from baseball hats to t-shirts to underwear, and what else can you get? You can get pins, and I have my very own Duty stamp, so don't run, and get your hands on my stuff. Duty, visit Duty's Adventures, No, that's not it. No, visit dutiesworld.com for all of your duty adventures.
Cast the crazy in the house. No doubt. So check the flow, cause you know I got soul. The name is Cast the Craze, baby. So act like you know what's called Cast the Craze. Originator, the crazy creator, giving you a fever with my boy Dreamer Medina. Weekly all the time with the newest and the best. Independence from the north, the south, east, and west. You got the SSS and the devils that are silent. Kiss me comics, cause it ain't all about violence. Neat stuff collects and the brothers, the Dables. Crazy comics in the house are willing and able. The underground sounds from hip hop to rock. Jamming on the saxophone is my boy Philip Clark. Cause I'ma keep it going, cause you know I got the flow. The name is Uncle Sam. Act like you know.
Cast the Craze. Cast the Craze.
I'm bugging out, baby.
Cast the Craze.
Spread the word, have you heard?